This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, friends, again, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. It's good to be with you. My name, as mentioned, is Bill Watson. I'll be hosting the rest of the telecast. You know, I don't think many of you would argue with me, and I don't think I would get much controversy or debate over the fact that I think all of us are agreed that we're quite limited as human beings. I mean, there are certain laws of physics that you and I have to abide by, don't we, in order to get along in this physical world. Well, what am I talking about? I mean, if you and I were swimming underwater, we probably would be good for maybe a minute or so, some of us that are in better shape, maybe a little longer than that. But eventually, we're going to have to take a gulp of air. And if we're still underwater and we take a gulp of water, chances are we're going to drown. By the same token, if we're up 30 stories or so and we tend to decide, well, I think I'm going to try and fly and jump off a 30-story patio and end up landing on a cement ground, I think we're going to probably slam in there like an old busted up grape, and hence they're going to have to probably come along and scrape us off of the sidewalk. So what I'm saying here is we are certainly limited in many respects, and we make judgments and decisions by virtue of our five senses, sight and smell and taste and hearing and touch. You know, you touch a hot stove, you pull back and recoil to protect your skin from burning off your bones because your brain says, hey, look, that's uncomfortable. That's not, what I want to do. By the same token, if you have some kind of perhaps offensive solution like hydrochloric acid or maybe a good old jar of horseradish, you put your nose up to that and take a nice whiff of that, boy, that goes right to your sinuses. I mean, your eyes start watering, you know, and boy, it just kind of brings it to your attention that, boy, you better not put your nose in that anymore because that's just going to not be real comfortable to do. And by, again, the same token, you could maybe get a good mouthful of salsa with a lot of varieties of peppers there, you know, and you take a good mouthful of this old salsa, and what do? You break out into a cold sweat. These are things, my friends, by which you and I digest information. And we then go ahead and make judgments in order to get defensive, offensive, you know, how to sit, how to stand, run, or whatever, to feel fear or to feel comfort. These things happen. By the same token, there are people among us who believe they have extra sensory perceptions. That's right. We have modern-day necromancers who think that they can contact the dead, talk with the dead. Matter of fact, even have shows on television today. I think one's called Crossing Over, whereby this man claims that he can contact the dead in another dimension and communicate with the living of their relatives and tell them things that this dead individual wants who's in another dimension. We have a fellow named Gary Schwartz who just wrote a book about the fact of how to try and scientifically prove that these things do exist, that the dead are walking, in fact, among us. And then we have, of course, those in addition to these individuals who think they have extrasensory perception, individuals who claim that they've seen UFOs. That's right, people who claim that they have seen aliens. Matter of fact, that they've been abducted and late in the night, you know, been sedated, hauled off by these green Martians from Venus or Mars or wherever. I guess Martians don't come from Venus, but nevertheless, what I'm trying to say here is they haul them off, they take them to some kind of saucer vehicle, put them on a cold slab, you know, poke them, probe them, do all kinds of things, examine them, take them back to their home. They kind of wake up not knowing how long they've been out, only to realize that, wow, what happened here? And then they begin to think, and whatever it was, be it a dream or a vision, who knows, maybe in some cases they think that it was really real, and I don't doubt their sincerity because I really believe that they're are people who think that these things happen, and far be it from me to judge them. You know, I'm not here to judge them. But what I am here to ask is, because of all this information, what are we to think about the dead, about the UFOs, about aliens from other planets and other dimensions visiting this planet? Well, I want to tell you something. Now, many of you may think I'm going off the wall here, I've gone over the top, but I want to mention something here to you. We have been visited by aliens. Not only have we been visited by aliens, we are being visited by aliens from time to time. And yes, UFOs have been sighted. Now, before I go on, I want to interrupt myself here to offer what we're offering today, again, free of charge. As usual, we're going to ask you to dial our 888 number. That is 888-578-8791. Go ahead and dial right now or hit our website, www.cgi.org. We have an offer, a booklet that was written special for this program called UFOs Exist. But here's the question, what are they? And that's the question that I have for all of us today. Yes, UFOs exist, aliens exist, but what are they? We have a tape also in addition to this booklet we're offering you. It's about 1 hour long. It's called Extraterrestrial Visits, Extraterrestrial Visits. Ask for this tape. Ask for the booklet. Dial right now, 888-578-8791. We'll get this material out to you as soon as we can and as quickly as we can, because this is information, my friends, that will help you to have a better balanced outlook on just what we're talking about. Because frankly, people have seen things. And there's no way that you can debate in many respects these issues because, frankly, there is good reason to believe they, in fact, have seen things. Now, I don't want to get too spooky on you, but I keep coming back to this question. The issue at hand is, what are they? Are they, in fact, aliens? Are they, in fact, UFOs? Well, I guess they are UFOs because they're unidentified flying objects. But the point that I want to make is, are they UFOs in the sense of our traditional thinking that they're from other planets or from other time zones? Well, my friends, I've got some information I want to share with you today. I want to cut to the chase because, as usual, time is fleeting. And I want to use the Bible as my basis, as we often do on this program, because we are a Bible-based program. And believe it or not, in your Bible, it has documentation of visitations of these aliens, and furthermore, goes one step further and identifies who these beings are. And that's right, your Bible is quite well documented that these beings not only come from a different location, but they come from a different dimension. And therein lies the danger and the seriousness of what I want to talk about today. As a matter of fact, it was serious enough, as far as God was concerned, to bring it up to his nation Israel back in the Old Testament and address it specifically to his people, because God did not want his people fooling around with that other dimension. As a matter of fact, God's advice to physical human beings who are limited in a molecular dimension of 3D was to stay away from making connection or encouragement with these beings from another dimension. Because you see, there is beings in another dimension, but they're not aliens, my friends, from another planet. Your Bible simply identifies them as good angels and bad angels. Bad angels also notoriously labeled as demons, with a king demon, the mother, I guess he's not really a mother, but the mother of all demons, I'll use that figuratively speaking, Satan the devil himself, a fallen cherub, a covering cherub at one time, whose name was called Lucifer, Lightbringer. That's what his name was. He was right there at the very throne of the living God, but in rebellion, decided, made a choice to rebel against God, and consequently took one third of the angelic kingdom with him. And today they do, no question about it, my friends, exist in another dimension. And they are tricksters. Oh, they know us better than we would like to give them credit for. And the reality is that we should take warning, good warning, of what God told his nation Israel back here in Deuteronomy 18. I want to go there real quickly. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. This was a pagan rite of sacrificing your firstborn to pagan gods. God didn't want his people doing that either. I mean, that goes without saying. But in addition, he goes on, he says here, or that uses divinations, or observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. He goes on, he says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things, here's a statement from God. It's simple, it's clear. Anybody who fools around with the other side, crossing over into that dimension, encouraging connection to these beings who are unlimited by molecular barriers, is an abomination. to God. Now, those are pretty hard words. Those aren't my words. I mean, I'm not calling it that way. God is calling it that way in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And why? Well, these beings are very powerful, my friends. These beings, we don't even understand, probably don't even have a clue as to how powerful these beings are. But what we do know is that our molecular, three-dimensional world has no limitation on them. As a matter of fact, throughout your Bible, we are given little keyhole peeks of what the spirit world offers, sometimes in good characterizations, other times in somewhat foreboding characterizations. I wanted to share, though, something with you that will give you a little insight regarding the spirit world that took place and of which Jesus Christ himself illustrated after his resurrection. That's right, Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights. You know the story, not a day and a half. That's another story too, but I won't digress in there. 3 days, three nights, Jesus now gets up out of the grave. He's resurrected back to life. However, he is now a spirit being. He is a resurrected being. He's walking throughout the grave area where he was incarcerated in the tomb. Mary comes over there looking for him and couldn't recognize him, but then ultimately does. And in chapter over here in the book of John, and in chapter 20, we read here real quickly in chapter 20, where Jesus states, Mary. And she turns to him and she says unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master. And right away she goes out to reach out to embrace him, and he says, don't touch me. Look, I haven't ascended yet to my Father. But you go and tell my friends, my apostles, my disciples, my buddies, that I ascend to your Father, my Father, to my God and your God, and you go tell them that I'm alive. In the meantime, what happens? Mary goes and she goes and tells the disciples. John and Peter have a foot race over to the sepulcher only to find out that, yes, Mary's correct. The body is missing. It's gone. They don't know what happened. That whole day, Sunday, of which Jesus made contact with Mary and had told her on that particular day, at that time went ahead, he did, that is, Jesus, proceeded to ascend to the Father. And when he ascended to the Father, you could imagine the celebration that was up there. And the reason I say this, my friends, the reason I say this is because over here in verse 19, watch what happens. Jesus Christ, went and ascended. Remember, he said, don't touch me, Mary, because I go to ascend to my Father, but you go tell my buddies. In the meantime, Mary goes and tells the buddies, where did Jesus go? Well, he ascended to the Father. That's where he went. And while he was up there for the few hours during the daytime of that particular day, Mary's telling the people, and everybody's running around, you know, passing the word that Jesus is alive. He's up and, you know, walking around. People have seen him and so on. The point that I want to make, though, in verse 19 illustrates that night Jesus returns the same day. Look at this now, verse 19, chapter 20, book of John. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. I want you to notice that. The doors were shut. John wrote that for a point, an important point to consider. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews because they were being hunted as rebels and as revolutionaries. And came Jesus, and he stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. You can read the next verse and see how they looked at him. They fondled him. They talked with him. They saw where his hands were penetrated with the nails that were driven into his hands when he was nailed to the stake. Make a long story short, illustrating the fact that, number one, he could travel apparently at the speed of thought because he ascended to the Father and he came back. Number two, he went to the Father and came back because, remember, he told Mary. He told Mary not to touch him. Yet now in the evening, everybody's touching him. Thirdly, he was able to come into the room without opening up the doors. Now, you know and I know, if we walk into a door, we either get a bloody nose, we get a bruised forehead or something, you know. Jesus was able in some way, shape, or form to dematerialize and penetrate solid molecular structure and just appear, dissolve up, as we would consider that in the video business. They would dissolve him up, and there he would be. And he was in the midst of them. Over in verse 26, 8 days later, because remember, Thomas wasn't with him, and we get the little cute statement about doubting Thomas, you know. Well, Thomas, 8 days later, is in a closed room. And look at this in verse 26, same chapter, John 20, verse 26. Here we are. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Look at this now. Comma, the doors being shut. John writes that for a purpose, my friends. He wants you to understand spirit life, spirit beings are not limited to the physical molecular barriers that you and I are as human beings. We're made of flesh and blood. We're made up of particular cells that have limitations. If I take my hand and I pound this desk, you know what's going to happen? I'll either break the wood if I pounded it hard enough, but I would definitely, if I did that, bruise my hand, because I'm not built to cause my hand, you know, to go through the desk. Oh, I can pretend, we can do special effects to make you think that my hand penetrated the desk, but in fact, you know as well as I do, being physical like me, we can't do that. Jesus here illustrates he could. Amazing. And we oftentimes in our Bible, not realizing the documentation of these aliens, which are nothing more than beings from another dimension, spirit beings, in fact, is real. They do exist, and these beings are alive. And yes, from time to time, my friends, they break the veil of our reality. That's right, they break the veil, and they do make contact with us in our three-dimensional worlds, in our molecular structure, and in our limited way. Notice with me, over here in the book of Daniel, I want to go over to Daniel chapter 9. This young man, Daniel, who was a captive in the city of Babylon at this time, he was seeing visions, and he was in contact with God, unbeknownst to him and not realizing the fact, was about to receive a visit. Over here, the prophet Daniel received a visitation from an extraterrestrial being, a being from another dimension, who came from the throne of God, broke the veil of three-dimensional reality, and in verse 21, look at this now, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." Daniel saw this angel in vision. He saw him fly and come through the veil of our reality and touch him. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is just awesome. In Daniel 10, you can read about the story regarding another angel who most likely was Gabriel, although it is, that is, this angel is unidentified. But he tells Daniel that it took him 3 weeks. 3 weeks to make it to Daniel, to let Daniel know that his prayers were being heard. And if it weren't for the help of another archangel in that other dimension that we have no connection with and cannot see, cannot touch, cannot smell, cannot taste, through our five senses and those avenues of this molecular limitation of reality that we exist in, this individual, this man, Daniel, who was in that dimension, is visited by this being and is telling Daniel that in that other dimension there were great battles going on. And it took a friend of his, of this angel named Michael, to help him battle through another angel labeled the King of Persia, which obviously, if they were fighting, weren't friends, so it's good to most likely think about the fact that, and certainly fair to say, that the demon or angel they were fighting was a demon, a bad demon that was trying to prevent them from achieving connection with Daniel. You can go on and on, my friends. The Bible comes alive with these visitations over and over and over again. There are dozens of these visits by these alien beings from another place and another dimension that your Bible documents for all of us to read and to appreciate and to recognize that, yes, it is part of the reality in which we live in. See, most of us don't recognize it, but we don't live in total reality. Is that hard to understand? Is that hard to recognize? Hard to believe? It's true. They can see us. We can't see them. And don't you think for 1 minute, my friends, they don't know everything about you as they view you, watch you. They know things about your relative. You talk about impersonations? Do you think a demon couldn't impersonate your grandmother's voice? Let's get real and understand something. We need to manage the reality that we live in and understand that God Almighty means what He says when He told His ancient nation Israel. And it's good advice for us today in these contemporary times. Certainly, very, very contemporary advice. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think you'd debate that with me. That we should stay away from tarot card readers and soothsayers and wizards and people who claim to tell the future and see the future or encourage us to cross over. You won't get a debate from me. I'm a firm believer that these people are in contact with voices, They're in contact with beings. But you know what? It's a game. There's a lot of tricksters out there. And you know who the joke is on, my friends? On you. God doesn't want you to be the victim of bad, sarcastic humor. And these demons, and Satan and his minions, are champions at it. Notice over here in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. I want to show you something. Because Satan himself, in this particular instance, breaks the veil and visits Jesus Christ. You know this particular story located in Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to read all of the scriptures nor all the details associated with it, but I want you to understand something. Satan the devil broke the veil and he made contact with Jesus. For our summary reading, Matthew records three major temptations that Jesus was victorious in overcoming, in spite of being challenged by the most powerful demon of that particular world and dimension. And in this particular case, Jesus, after it was all said and done, and the day was over, and these 40 days and 40 nights of which Jesus was fasting, and it's all finished here, in verse 11 we read what happened. And here's what happened. Look at this. Then the devil left him. Matthew 4, verse 11. Read it. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Meaning, 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know about you, but if I fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I'd probably be a dead person. But suffice it to say, Jesus was in such good health at that time that 40 days and 40 nights of fasting still afforded him life after that endeavor and that event. Needless to say, I'm sure he was really whipped. These angels broke the veil of reality and engaged in a visitation to the very Son of God and probably brought him what? Well, Jesus was confined to our molecular limited world. Jesus was flesh. Jesus was blood. Jesus needed nutrition because in our physiochemical existence, without water and without food and without air, you and I are dead. Jesus took on the seed of human beings and was limited and by virtue of his own voluntary action divested himself of his divinity. And that's another story of Christ's pre-existence and how he himself was the creator. And in most cases, these very angels were created by him and knew him by spirit. And, of course, by visual recognition because they watched him walk among the living in this molecular reality that we live in. My friends, these angels ministered to Jesus. Over in Luke chapter 1, look at this visitation. Here's another one. Luke chapter 1. I don't know how many of us really just read over these things, but here's another visitation, a recorded, documented visit by, again, Gabriel. He's kind of a busy guy in God's kingdom here. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. 28, verse 28, Luke 1, we read, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw this, she was startled. She was completely surprised and taken aghast, like you or I would. I mean, this angel broke the veil of our reality, and lo and behold, was about to tell her the news that she was going to be the carrier of the very Son of God and be part and parcel to the plan of God, serving his purpose as being the one who would, in fact, bring human life to the very, very Word of God, the Logos, as he was known prior to his human birth. My friends, there is so much in this Bible that we don't look at with the kind of, what you could say, specialness, and with the kind of awe that we ought to. Sometimes tradition has caused us to overlook so many very important things that are associated with the message of which God wants us to understand about Him. We need to take the time, reconsider some of these things. Read your Bible as a living document because it is a living document. It is the very message of the living God to humankind, and He has a message worth listening to. So, my friends, take the time. Take the time to call right now, 888-578-8791. Hit us on our website, as I've already asked and recommended you do, because there's far more things on there besides just the offer that we're offering today free of charge. charge. That's www.cgi.org. All of these things, all of the material we offer is provided to you free of charge by virtue of the tithes and offerings of a church organization associated with this broadcast, the Armor of God, called the Church of God International. Those of you who want more information, don't be bashful about asking that particular information about the church and the sponsoring body behind this particular telecast. My friends, get the literature. You need to find out about this information. You really need to know what God is trying to tell you. 888-578-8791. Stay tuned. Listen to these few closing comments. We'll see you right back here next week.
Oh, Bill's got me into that Twilight Zone thing about these UFOs. Don't you get that feeling like, did he flip out or something? But he used a lot of scriptures, didn't he, to identify the fact that we've had some alien visitors to this earth. Now, I want to share one with you before we leave today. This is the prophet Ezekiel describing the identified flying object, if you will, in the first chapter of Ezekiel in verse 4. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. Out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire." It goes on to describe the creatures with four faces and four wings and all of this dynamic energy being displayed here. But later on in the chapter, it identifies this great being called the Creator. Here in verse 28, it says, "As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice as one that spoke." Wow. You mean to tell me that God didn't wind up the earth, set it on its course, walk away from it, and has no concern about it whatsoever? What happens, happens? That's why you need to get this booklet and this sermon tape that tells you and identifies that there have been visitors from another realm, another rank, if you will, to this earth. The booklet, UFOs Exist, What Are They? And the sermon by Bill Watson entitled Extraterrestrial Visits. You can have it toll free by calling 1-888-578-8791. Till next time, I'm Bronson James, reminding you to put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand.
Many have asked from time to time, how are we able to provide these free offers week after week, like the one offered this week showing on your screen? Well, the Armor of God is sponsored by the Church of God International. It is by the tithes and offerings of these dedicated people that affords us this benefit to you. If you would like to know more about the Church of God International, please feel free to call us at 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and let us know how we may serve you.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.